those of you who don't know me, my name is Donna. And if you haven't been here the last few weeks, or if this is your first time, welcome. We have been doing a series on being apprenticed by Jesus. And today we are looking at sharing the good news as a way of apprenticing. So for those that don't know, last time I stood up here, I really struggled with this little thing. So I've had a lesson this morning. I want to just start with the very best news of all, that you are loved. You are so very, very deeply loved. And everyone can quote that most famous scripture. So in the Bible, the word good news is shared roughly 125 times. So I thought, well, you'd all stay for the week here and we'd read every one of those. But no, you can look them up for yourself. But personally, we all have some good news from the Bible. We all have some favourite verses, and I'm going to share some of mine with you today in sharing good news, being apprenticed in sharing good news. One of my most favourite passages in the Bible is when we are going through hard times, when we do have some things in our life that are not good news. I love that verse from Exodus 14:14, and it says, "The Lord fights for you. All you have to do is stand." That's such good news, isn't it? Traditionally, the good news is known as the gospel, and the gospel basically sums down to God sent his son Jesus to live on earth when he could have stayed in heaven. What a choice. To die on that cross. And when I think about that horrendous death, it really grieves my heart. And to be resurrected. Why? Because, resurrected, and for forgiveness, sorry. Why? For our sins. Because he had no sins, just for what we have done, are doing, and will do. Because God wanted to ensure that he had a life with us. Now, that's kind of like getting a little golden ticket in Willy Wonka. And some people think that that's great. I'm going to have eternal life. When I die, I'm not going to hell. There's an awful word. I'm going to heaven. There's room made for me. Or that ticket may also be that it's going to happen when I die. But really, it is going to start right now, today, right this minute. Your eternal life is now to eternity. It's not when you die. That's really good news. Most people in the room here would say that they were Christians. But what I want you to think about today is, are you an apprentice to Jesus? And there's a little bit difference there. Christians, we love God, and that's great, and it's great to be a Christian. But apprentices are, like our board on the back, aiming for a goal to be transformed, to be more unmistakably like Jesus. The difference there, we're going to look at that today. Both my kids, when they left school, got apprenticeships. One was a hairdresser and one was a spray painter. And their apprenticeship officially took about 4 years. But in that fourth year, they were pretty much signed off, just doing the time, and they were fully fledged and doing everything that the teacher had told them. So in an apprenticeship, you have like a master or a teacher and you have an apprentice. And I'm going to refer to those two words. When you think about Jesus's ministry here on earth, his ministry took about 3.5 years as an apprentice in the world, or to helping us to become one of his apprentices. Some of us, like me, my apprenticeship is far longer than 3.5 years. So we're going to look at how Jesus did it here on earth. So number one, the ultimate teacher, which we call the master, he did life alongside of everyone, particularly his closest, and then the disciples, and then the greater group, and then amongst the world. So he ate with them, he studied with them, he celebrated with them, he slept with them, he travelled with them, prayed, played, and he generally shared his life with them. The second way he did it was through teaching and preaching, and this is probably what we think a lot about as an apprentice. The first stage in an apprenticeship is that the master does everything and the apprentice watchers, such as the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so Jesus did it and the apprentices just sat and watched him. The second stage is that the master still does everything, but the apprentices help. And so he got them to hand out the bread and the fish and then collect it back, the leftovers, in the basket. The third stage of the apprenticeship is that the apprentice does it and the master helps. So when he sent the disciples out to cast out demons and they couldn't do it, they came back to him and they said, well, we can't do it. And so he had to actually help them do it. And the fourth stage is the apprentices do it and the master watches. And so in the very end of the four Gospels, it mentions that, or in Matthew particularly, that Jesus sent them out to teach and preach to the four corners of the world, which probably didn't include Australia at that stage because it wasn't ever heard of. But here we are today. The third way I really like this way is that Jesus was fully himself. He was a man here on earth, a man with blood running in his veins, experiencing everything that we ever experienced. And he became a man and fully himself for us. That's wonderful news, better than good news. He did check in regularly through prayer that he was doing his Father's will, which is a good thing. And the last one is one of my favourites, is the parables. Jesus taught by parables in the Bible, and most of those parables were about agriculture and fish, because at that time, what was going on around those people is that they were mostly farmers and professional fishermen, which is probably not many of us are farmers or professional fishermen in, or fisherwomen, in this room today. So today I'm hoping to share with you a couple of modern day parables. I've got a glass here and it's not full to the top. So some of you might say it's half full and some of you might say it's half empty. And I like to think of myself as a glass half full kind of girl about 90% of the time. If I am a glass half empty kind of person, I look at that glass and I go, who's been drinking out of my glass? Who stole from me? Or I paid $11 for that at the bar and they didn't even fill it to the top. You know, they have that line on it, they don't fill it to the top. But if you're a glass half full kind of person, you'll be thinking, ooh, there's room for more. There's room from there for a bit more. So, like I said, 90% of the time, I'm not always happy and cheerful. I do go through sadness and battles in my life. But this is one of my very, very favourite passages. And remember, when we did, if you're in a Connect group, not last week, the week before, you looked at that list of emotions and there was lots of them, but we mentioned a lot more. And Jesus went through all of those emotions. So how do I keep my glass half full? This is my favourite passage that I live from. And it says, whatever is true, whatever is honourable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, because I might have something that's right and you might have something that's right, that we believe is right, but what we need to do is come in here and check it out by God's word. Whatever is pure and wholesome, well, heroin can be pure but not very wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, not perfection, but excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. It means center them in your mind and implant them in your heart. And then you will be carrying around the glass half full and spreading good news. When people know that we are going through things in our life, it might be illness or relationship breakdown or unemployment or whatever it is that's not such good news, but we're still carrying that joy and that peace that it only can come from God. People think, wow, why can you be wearing a smile when this is going on for you? And so, another one of my favourites, wrong way. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be ready to give a logical, defense, to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance that comes from faith that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. There was a thing on SBS a few weeks ago about how young people are growing in the growing in faith or and spirituality. And one of the blokes on there, they asked him, oh, so are your family very happy with you that you've joined this Pentecostal church? And he said, well, they were up until I tried to cast their demons out. I thought, maybe not gentleness and respect unless they'd asked for it. So good news then is like gossip. It is good for you. It's good for the people around you. And oh, we're too far. And it is also good for the reputation of Jesus, the reputation of the church, and the reputation of the word Christianity. And when we hear in the news all this negative news, not good news, it is kind of our responsibility to change that. I mentioned about the parables. One of the ways that we do parables is testimony. And I'm just going to invite Jess up to give you a little bit about her story.
This is only a little bit of my story. But these are the big things that have happened. So almost a year ago, actually, today, I was in a very manipulative and dangerous relationship. I was scared, not only for my life, but the lives of my children. I knew deep inside that something was really wrong, but I had no idea how to escape, and I was trapped. I was trapped in a cycle of abuse. My days were spent walking on eggshells, being completely exhausted, confused, anxious, fearful, trying to make sense of something that was never going to make sense. I was living in survival mode. I felt completely lost and worthless. I had not spoken to God in many years, as I thought that I wasn't good enough for the Christian life. I turned my back on God because the life that I had didn't work the way that I wanted it to. So I thought, that's it. That's not for me. I'm not good enough for that life. And I actually thought I can do it better myself. But I can't. Definitely can't. So after a long period of not speaking to God, one night I just cried out to him to help me. To help me leave, because I knew I had to, I just couldn't. I prayed for him to give me the hard proof so that my mind would catch up with what was going on and I could just get out. It was one prayer, one time. The very next morning, God answered me. He revealed to me the evidence I needed to finally flee. So with nothing but three bags of clothing and my three children, I left while he was at work and I knew it was safe. I had no idea where I was going to go. Myself and my children were officially homeless. I had placed all of my trust in Jesus. And it was really scary, considering I thought that I didn't deserve his love and forgiveness. I phoned my sister, who lived an hour away, because I knew that it would be harder to find us there. I stayed with her for the weekend, and then I attended the police station and got a protection order put in place with the help of my brother-in-law, who was an ex-police officer. It was him who shone the light onto what was actually happening and how serious it really was. Because when you're in that situation, you're looking through a fog and you don't really understand how bad it is. You also don't want anyone to know. You want to keep it together. You want to look like everything's perfect. Not to mention, I actually felt like I was going crazy. Monday came fast and the kids had to return to school. I felt safe enough by that point returning to the area, because I knew that that order was in place. My beautiful mum, Cheryl, was my soft landing place yet again. Through the goodness and love of Brad and Laura, I was able to stay on their property until the kids and I found somewhere to live. Laura embraced me like a long-lost sister, and it was a level of love and care that I had not experienced for a very long time. And she gives the best hugs. Although I was extremely grateful to have a roof over our head, it carried with it great feelings of guilt, failure, and shame. Here I was, a mother with three children, one being only a newborn baby, and I had nowhere to live. It was the most devastating, lowest point in my life. How did I get here? After lots of tears and prayers, I had to dust myself off and start applying for somewhere to live. I applied for a property and I was up against a young couple with full-time incomes. I got the phone call saying that unfortunately the owners had decided to give it to them. I hung up the phone and I thought, of course, I only have one income. I can't compete with that. The feelings of disappointment and shame hit me hard once again. The feeling of letting your children down is one of the toughest emotions I have ever experienced. But after I told Mum, she said, keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. So, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And there was no fear in her. There was no fear. She just said, keep praying, keep praying. So I did. I'll keep praying, okay. He's led me here. I'll just keep going. Within half an hour, the phone rang again. The other young couple had decided that they didn't want the property and it was ours. Amen, Jesus. That was the moment that I truly learned the power of prayer. A weight lifted off me and I felt like everything was going to be okay. I knew he really had this. He had his loving arms around us and he was not going to let us go. One of the heartbreaking parts of leaving my old home was that I used to spend a lot of time in my garden that I had built from scratch. I absolutely adored it, and it was the only place that I felt safe, and it was really hard to leave that behind. But how good is God? The new property had 3 fruit trees, a passion fruit vine, pumpkins, tomato, rhubarb, limes, blueberries, pineapples, and many, many beautiful flowers, and even a banana tree. So he certainly covered that loss for me right there. And that garden brings me so much joy, and it's a constant reminder that he will always provide. I still carry scars for what I went through, but the fear that once controlled me is gone. God has broken those chains. Today, I can say with confidence, I am free, I am his child, and he has never let go of me. If it had not been for him giving me that inner strength and a fierce, determined direction to run, I don't believe I would be standing here today. It was him who saved me. It was him who never turned his back on me. It was him who met me in that dark place. Through it all, he never let me go. He is my refuge. Upon reflecting, he also placed all of the right people around me at the right time, and he continues to do so. My brother-in-law, the police officer that listened to me, my loving mum, my beautiful childhood friend who has come back into my life after many years, Laura and Brad for providing a shelter, Ben, who is a blessing to my son, and my beautiful cousin Ness, just all of you who have prayed for me and loved on my family. And even my lawnmower man is a Christian. The Bible calls us to spread the good news, and that's why I share my testimony today. Well, mainly because the word yes just came out of my mouth when Donna asked me. But I was in that dark, dangerous place, and nobody else saved me except him, and he continues to save me. I want everyone I meet to know about the loving grace of our Lord. He is faithful, he is powerful, and he is the one who saves us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jess. I didn't know Jess's story when I asked her to share. I just knew that God was telling me she had something to say, and it was such good news, isn't it? And I looked around at you guys when she was talking, and I saw, like Jess, like mine, I saw your tears as well. Just that love for each other, because the good news is you're loved. Yes. So often, right through the Bible, from the very beginning to the very end, Jesus chooses imperfect people to do his work. And he chooses people that you would not think to choose yourself if you were going out to choose them. It wasn't really my choice to choose Jess. Just after praying, I thought, who can I ask? And Jess came into my mind. Thank you, Jess, so much. We're going to look at a story of one of the people, imperfect people, that's in the Bible that Jesus chose. And it's one of the first people he chose to spread good news. And it's the woman at the well. So Jesus was travelling with his disciples and he sent them into town to eat. And he was sitting at the well and along came this woman. And he spoke to her. Now, firstly, a man would never be alone with a woman in that time. A Jew would never talk to a Samaritan, and she was a Samaritan woman. And men didn't actually talk to women either, especially divorced women. And this woman had been divorced 5 times, and now she's living with a bloke. She's in a de facto relationship. And he asked her for a drink because she was getting water out of the well. And she said, you've got no bucket. How are you going to drink? And he offered her some really, really good news. And he said, all who drink this water will be thirsty again, the water at the well. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never, an emphasis there, be thirsty anymore. But the water that I give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him into eternal life and for eternal life. And God has been challenging me, like Joe mentioned, he's challenging her, on judgment. And sometimes we look at that woman at the well and we're tempted to judge her. Maybe she came from an abusive relationships as well. Maybe she's just really dissatisfied and she kept looking for the next man. Maybe she's really fussy about what she wanted in a man and she'd get rid of that one, get a new one. Maybe her husband, unlike any of you blokes, was really messy and she said, I'm not putting up with that. It's a follow-on from your story, Laura. Maybe she had real trauma in her life, in her growing up, in her childhood, that led her to repeat a pattern of choosing the wrong men, men that were just not good enough for her in God's eyes. Or maybe her husband left. Maybe he got sick of her nagging, because none of you ladies either, you don't nag, and I never nag. Sorry, I just lied. It's a confession. Maybe he left her because she was infertile, because in those days, it was always the blame was put on for the woman if they couldn't have children, and it was one of the reasons, legal reasons for divorce. But also in that society, she had to go and get another man because you had to have a man provide for you in those days. Having a man in your life, whether you went from your father then to your husband, gave you safety and honour and status in society. It wasn't available any other way. And she chose if you've ever been to the Middle East, you know how oppressively hot that midday sun is and you just choose to stay in the air conditioning. But she chose the torture of that midday sun over, she thought that was better than the criticism and the judgment of the other people that lived in the village, particularly the other women that that came to collect water. So she went out in the middle of the day. Everyone else did it in the cool of the day because there were no taps in their houses and she needed life-sustaining water. The only way to get it was to go to the well. But there's something about this passage in the next bit that really, really hit me. After Jesus had given her this fabulous news, she took her water jar and she put it down. And then she went into town to tell everyone this good news. And in putting that water jug down, she surrendered. She surrendered to Jesus. She had decided to become one of his apprentices. She said, I don't need that jar when he has just given me a spring. I don't need that jar when I've got a fountain inside of me. And when you've got a spring or a fountain,
There's lots of water, not just that much. There's no end to it, and it's fresh. And there's a couple of other things. When you are carrying around your water jug, your hands are full, and you can't carry God. When you're carrying around your water jar and it's really full, and you've got to keep your mind on not spilling it, then your mind is not on Jesus. And when you are so busy going to the well and back and going to the well and back and carrying your water jar around, you are too busy to hear the Holy Spirit. So she put down her water jar. She put down her past, her shame, her guilt, her mistakes, her trauma. She put down her pain. And she said, I am done carrying that jar. I am done carrying criticism. I am done carrying judgment. I am done carrying rejection. And when she put that down, she got a new identity. She was no longer the woman who carried her water jar in the middle of the day in secret, but she was the woman chosen by Jesus to spread good news. And her reputation was washed away in one chat with Jesus. Now, biblically, we know that this woman was one of the first chosen to carry good news in the Bible. Historically, there's so much more to this woman's story, and you're very welcome to Google it for yourself. When she went back into town, she started converting everybody. She got Jesus come in and talk to everybody, and they all became apprentices. Her son was in the army and he converted one of the Roman military commanders. And when Nero heard about this, he was enraged. And we remember Nero, he persecuted Christians, killed Peter and Paul, that bloke there. So he had them beat with iron bars and not a bone was broken in their body. This is not in the Bible. This is a historic recollection. And then they were tortured in all these other ways by fire and poison and snakes. And when he saw that force wasn't working, he got his daughter, whose name was Domina, to entice the woman at the well into this room full of riches and said, you can have whatever you like and you can have the promise that goes with riches. And you know what happened? Domina was converted to the way and she changed her name to Anthusa. So now we've got this woman who was the water carrier being the waterer of this new flower. So they were thrown, her and her family were thrown in prison. And you know what happened in prison? People got converted. So Nero took her out and threw her down the well. And she started at the well and she died at the well. But it is reported that until her death, they heard her praising and singing and worshipping and praying. So all was well with her soul. That's my bread joke for the day. So I'll put down the clicker somewhere. Looking at how Jesus did it, how do we do it? So good news for the disciples or apprentices such as us. Do you want to carry your water jar around or do you want a fountain springing up inside of you?
Yay!
How do we do it? We do life alongside. We do life alongside Jesus. We do life alongside of each other. I love doing life with you guys. And we do life alongside of people who may not know Jesus. And it's our job, our privilege to carry that good news. We teach and we preach, not just when we stand up at the front of the church, but we do it everywhere in our life, wherever we go. We teach people and we always have an answer. And if you can't find one, look in here. We have an answer for those people. We be ourselves, fearfully and wonderfully made. Learned that this year. You are uniquely made for a purpose. So the people that you touch will be very different to the people that you touch, which are very different to the people that I touch in my life. And there's a reason for that. Made wonderfully so that we can get it out there, all the good news to everyone. And the last one, like Jess's testimony, and like something I'm going to show you in a moment, a modern day parable, these are the parables of today. So I've got this great parable for you. Being
an apprentice is a bit like a gumboot. If you're wearing your gumboots out in the garden and you come inside and you walk around my house, the bad news is I'm going to slap you. No, that's not the news. If I'm walking around in my socks, my beautiful white new socks, after you've been walking around in your gumboots, guess what's going to happen to my lovely white socks? Okay, not such good news. But if you are wearing your fairy gumboots out there, this was for a dresser, and then you wear them into the house, you're going to sprinkle that little fairy dust all over the house. And for anyone who's ever worked with glitter, you know what happens? An hour later, you find it on your skin. And I just found some here on my shirt from like 2 hours later, 3 hours later. And the next morning, you find it on your pillowcase because it's been in your hair. Because that fairy dust goes everywhere, like good news. And I tried to get some fairy dust on my socks, but maybe it's a bit hard. But what I was tempted to do was to blow it so that you're all going to have fairy dust everywhere every day. Everyone's looking at me horrified. I have a little challenge for us today. Not all news is good news. Jesus experienced all the negative emotions just like the positive ones. And today, I want you to talk about your bad news. I want you to find somebody close to you in twos or threes that you trust, a bit like we did in Connect Group. Or if you don't want to talk there, there will be people out the front that you can come to. And I want you to tell them a little bit about your bad news. And in return, we're going to pray for you. Okay, so if you're in your group, you can each share and each pray without judgment for each other. I want you to take off your mask. I don't want you to be pretending to be something or someone that you are not today. And just to share with someone you trust and pray for each other. Because in the future, your bad news will be turned to good news and it will become your testimony. And who knows, some of you might be asked to come and share yours as well. So we're just going to have a little bit of background music. If you can turn to each other, tell them something. It may be something so small, like I've got a sore throat, or it may be something so big, like I'm struggling with this relationship right now and I've been avoiding it, but the time is coming that I've got to face it. And, you know, I got some feelings inside of me that are not real Christ-like. I've got this resentment or anger or fear or anxiety about it, and I need prayer for that.